Robots, the podcast for news and views on robotics. Hi, and welcome to the Robots Podcast, episode number 140. My name is Jana, and this episode is all about getting started in robotics. But first, let's get the latest news and developments in robotics from Christine.
Thank you, Jana. US company 3D Robotics, founded by DIY Drones founder Chris Anderson, has raised $30 million in venture capital. The company will use the money to build on and commercialize the open-source technology developed by DIY Drones' large user base. The company's focus will be on mainstream aerial robotics and surveying, and hopes to sell small, affordable drones to farmers as well as to smaller markets, including conservation, surveying, early warning, and other monitoring, firefighting, photography, surveillance, and others. In other funding news, US-based Boston Dynamics, which you will remember from their amazing walking robots, including the packing mule Big Dog, has received a $10 million grant from US defense agency DARPA to update and improve on Big Dog's big brother, the LS-3. In more news, RoboHub is currently running a RoboHub focus on robotics education. It includes more than 24 contributions, ranging from tutorials at various levels, through reviews of the top educational robots, all the way to summaries of successful educational programs with everything you ever wanted to know about getting started in robotics. And finally, the Robots Association, the nonprofit behind this podcast and RoboHub, is organizing a workshop on public science communication at the IRIS conference in Tokyo in November. If you'd like to submit a paper or plan on attending IRIS, make sure you check it out. For more information on recent business, startup, and funding news, RoboHub's Focus on Education series, and the Robots Association's workshop at IRIS, have a look at robohub.org.
Erin Kennedy is a social and personable robotics researcher and freelance app developer. She's also known as Robot Girl and actively blogs about her various robotics-related activities on her website, robotgirl.com. Her ultimate dream is to develop robots that can socially interact with each other and that create their own roboculture and artificial society. Erin spoke to our interviewer Sabine about her robots Robot Bird and Bot Bait and her first steps in commercializing these robots as robot kits.
Hi Erin, welcome to Robots.
Hello.
Can you start by introducing yourself to our listeners?
Sure. So I'm known online as Erin Robot Girl, and I build robots that are character robots, so they all have an interesting look to them, personable, and also open source hardware that you can build yourself.
And we're actually at the Open Hardware Summit. What will you be presenting here?
I will be showing off 3 RoboBirds, 1 Buddy 4000, 1 Bot Bait, and a whole bunch of photos from the community of all the RoboBirds that they built so that they can be here in spirit, essentially.
Oh my gosh, so we're going to have to go through all these robots, and they're all really, really fun. I actually have a really good friend of mine who built the RoboBird, and he just loves it. That's what got him started in robotics. And this interview is going to be part of the Getting Started in Robotics series. And the reason we're interviewing you is because you've really learned everything by yourself. So how did you get started in robotics?
So I got started when I was 13. I was actually injured for the summer from doing track and field. So instead I got a Lego Mindstorms kit and started building robots. Except eventually I got bored of it because all of the robots involved wheels of some sort. So it was sort of limited in that way. Afterwards I discovered Arduino and started learning more about electronics, eventually building up my knowledge to the point where I could build robots that are characters from my imagination. And eventually I created one called RoboBird. It was originally made out of pencils and popsicle sticks, and it has evolved since then.
What did you find difficult when you started making robots after the initial Lego Mindstorm?
What I found difficult actually was the electronics, because the Lego Mindstorms hid that from us. So I was good at programming, good at the mechanical part, but as for electronics, I had no idea what was going on. So that part was quite difficult.
How did you end up learning electronics? Did you buy a soldering iron? Did you just try and, you know, have things burn up?
I bought an Arduino, some servos, some LEDs, and just started following all the tutorials online about it. And eventually using that knowledge and code from the tutorials to make up my own stuff.
What kind of tutorials for those who want to get started like you?
I learned actually from the Adafruit tutorials. They were amazing. They still are amazing. So definitely recommend them.
What's the first thing that you saw that you made where you were like, wow, I can make robots now?
I made a blinking LED like many other people do when they get an Arduino. And from there it's like, oh, I made an LED blink. Now maybe I can make a solenoid move or a servo move. So I essentially got three servos together and created this pink snowman-like robot, sort of like Keep-On, but not as cute, and it was pink and not as good.
That's pretty cool. Actually, one of the robots they made for me was also pink. Do you think the robots that you make are maybe more for girls?
It's about half and half for RoboBird. Lots of girls like it because they can design it however they want, and boys like it too because they can make it look like an angry bird, that sort of thing.
You actually have a RoboBird here. Can you describe it for us?
Sure. So this is the last handmade prototype RoboBird that I built. It's sort of the famous one. And essentially, when I plug in the battery here.
Wow, so you just plug that in?
Yep.
Okay, so this is the real deal. So it just opened its mouth now.
Yep. And now whenever we put hats on it, it will do different behaviors.
Wow, it's flapping its wings, it's like going with its beak. How did it sense the hat?
So on each hat is a little NFC tag, and then inside of the head of the RoboBird is an NFC sensor.
What's an NFC sensor? I actually don't know.
It's similar to RFID.
So I can see the wooden parts of the robot, so I totally believe that this is one of the first ones, probably your first baby. Can you tell us what went into actually going from there to making a kit that people are buying to teach their kids how to make robots?
Yeah, that was actually a massive undertaking to design all of the laser cut pieces based off of this design. It was tricky to make it very sturdy so that it wouldn't fall apart, but also so that it's easy to assemble. Eventually, the final design, I can actually stand on it, and it gets assembled with wood glue, so very easy and very strong.
You basically designed this at home. Where did you find a laser cutter and all the tools that you need to make the commercial kit?
So for the laser cutter, I actually used Spikenzie Labs. They were nearby me in Montreal. And it was basically pretty simple. I designed the files at home. I can even print them off on a normal printer and just measure it all. And for the laser cutting, just a few tweaks were needed.
How do you build one of these robots? Because it really comes with all the pieces detached, so you really have to do the whole thing.
So there's three main parts to building a RoboBird. There's the chassis, which is the outer shell, the laser cut pieces. Then there's the electronics, which you have to solder yourself. It's a RoboBird brain board, an Arduino derivative. And then there's the programming. There's example code to get you started for programming the RoboBird. And then you can just go from there and start adding your own code.
You mentioned that people have been sending you pictures of what they've been doing with these RoboBirds kits. What are the crazy things that you've seen?
The crazy things that I have seen is a Hunt the Wumpus game style thing with using GPS, and it has LCDs. There is also a face tracking RoboBird with really big eyes, actually harvested from an Elmo, so that was pretty funny. And also a miniature RoboBird about the size of an Arduino, so very small, and it actually works as well. There's also a speech synthesis and recognition RoboBird.
Wow, that's pretty impressive. You have robot parties to sort of bring together all these developers. What happens during these parties?
So what happens during the parties is it's a Google Plus Hangout, and people who build robots can join in and show their robots and really discuss like what stages they're going through and what their challenges are. It's been really neat to see how all of the projects have progressed over time.
Since you've seen so many people develop robots, what are the parts that are missing in terms of tutorials or in terms of help? Like, what would have helped you get started?
What would have helped me get started faster or along the path that I'm going right now is more tutorials about, like, integrating psychology and interaction into the robot. So what do people expect when they interact with a robot? How do you judge, like, if you can make it better or fine-tune it in ways?
Is that something that you've had to think about for RoboBird, for example?
Yeah, a little bit, and I'm starting to think about it even more so now and creating some tutorials of basic behaviors that you can work with for RoboBird.
Do you follow the research world, sort of the state of the arts in human-robot interactions, or is this really based on your experience?
I was deeply inspired by Kismet, like many people are. So I definitely had that sort of aspect involved, but it's not quite as sophisticated.
Tell us about the other robots that you built. You also have a humanoid version of a robot?
Yeah, my humanoid is Manoi HE01. It's based off of that kit by Kyosho, and I modified it to the extent where it's not like the real kit anymore, so it's a different brain. It used to play hockey, but then it burnt out its knee servos. It has ping pong ball antennas on its head and all that. I need to get it back up and running at some point.
All right, and you have a new robot, the BotBait. Is that right? BaitBot, BotBait? I always say it backwards. Tell us about it. It's a really cool tentacle robot.
Yeah, BotBait. It's a basic tentacle mechanism robot, and what it uses is Sugru in the center core of it so that it can be flexible, and you can also make it at home, really. So it's a two-stage tentacle mechanism, so the end piece can move independently of the upper piece to create these S-curve fluid motions, and only uses four servos. It has lots of LEDs on it, some LEDs going down the tail, and one of the basic behaviors I made for it was just sensing and reacting to distance, so it does different things for different distances you are from it.
And it looks sort of like a tentacle. So the bait idea is that because it looks like something that a fish would go after, or where does the name come from?
Exactly. It looks like something a fish would go after, and it's attached to a wall or whatever mounting base you want to use, sort of like on a fishing line. So it moves around on its mount and isn't very permanent, which makes it look like as if it's like ready to catch some fish, robo fish, I guess.
Is there a plan to make a robo fish?
Sure.
So tell us about the kits that you have that you're basically selling. What can people make based on everything that you've developed?
They can make a robo bird or a cute robot, toy looking robot, and also bot bait. there's also the ability to customize it further by using the open source hardware that's available for it.
Have you found it difficult to actually make something that you can sell?
Yeah, definitely. The steps that are involved with like making something that's reliable is always tricky. One of the good parts that I've found is that by using the 3D printer and getting reliable results every single print, it makes it a lot easier to speed up the development time from going to prototype to production, really.
And you went through Indiegogo, right? For your selling for basically for the expansion. How did that work?
It worked out really well. So the Indiegogo for RoboBird kit to really kickstart everything that I'm doing. It was funded 151%. We got about 100 RoboBirds out there in the wild, and the response has been great so far.
You do this all by yourself?
Yep, just me so far, just me and the robots.
Do you think you can bring this to the next level, or are you more interested in exploring new types of robots?
I hope so. I hope I can bring it to the next level, because it would be cool to have like a real-life Pokemon sort of scenario where you have all these creatures and everyone builds them themselves and then they can interact with each other.
Can these robots interact?
Well, if you use, like, say, an XB radio, you can get them to communicate with each other, or even infrared LEDs. It's really up to you. I mean, the tutorials are out there on how to make that work with Arduino.
Where do you see this going in the future? Like, what are the steps that you're taking now?
Where I see it going in the future is a lot more blended reality. So the robots will be able to interact with the computer or an iPad a lot, and you'll be able to explore different features from that and have different functionality. That's definitely something where I'll be doing more things in the future, so keep a lookout.
You've also been going to a lot of maker fairs, and you've had a lot of success over there. How have you found the maker community?
The maker community is really great. For example, one of the reasons why I'm here is that I won a travel grant from the Open Hardware Summit and ADA initiative, and that's all based off of like me showing all of my robots at Maker Faire and I guess being interested in open source hardware. They've really all helped out a lot. It's been great.
Do you feel that we should be doing more to get girls involved in science and engineering?
Well, yeah, or even just getting everyone more involved in it. When people see with RoboBird that it becomes a character, they're instantly interested in it. So there should be more fun and nice things in the world, as well as making things that have a purpose other than just being fun.
Do you think that what makes it fun is the fact that you can decorate it, that you can really make it a character? Like, is that the missing piece in a lot of sort of the very hardware-oriented, you know, kits?
I think so. I think that's part of it. But there's also the part where, like, some people just like their RoboBird, the plain brown of the material that it comes in. But it's really, like, this is something where you can give life to it and make it do whatever you want. And it's sort of like your robot friend. It will be there to cheer you up.
If you could start from scratch, what would you change in RoboBird?
I would change the circuit board. The cost to manufacture the circuit board has been a big challenge for me, so I'm exploring different options of maybe having a shield for it that attaches to an Arduino, or similar to that, using a Arduino Pro Mini or something.
And Arduino, how have you found the experience? That's really a platform that a lot of people are using and learning with.
Yeah, a lot of people know Arduino, and a lot of people, it was actually their first experience with Arduino using RoboBird. So their software is great, their hardware is great. It's just a really good step into microcontrollers.
Why go open hardware?
So that way people can learn from it, learn about how I designed what I designed and how they can actually modify it to customize it to be what they want.
Are you thinking of ways to share the code as well, something more open software?
The code right now should be licensed under a BSD clause. So it is open source initiative license. Sometimes it's on GitHub, sometimes it isn't. So either way, it's available. So if you just look around on the website, you'll be able to find it.
Do you know who buys your robot? Cause sometimes I wonder, like my friend, he's a 25-year-old guy. So I wonder, you know, is it the parents or the dads who really want to build this robot and then they get their kids on board? Or is it really the, you know, the teenagers?
I actually don't know. That's one of the weird parts that I've been trying to figure out. It seems to be like whenever I try to find a pattern, then something else comes up. It's just a lot of people who want to build a robot bird.
That's cool. I mean, I kind of want to build a robot bird too, especially now that I have the original one in front of me.
Yeah.
They look really awesome. All right. So thanks, Erin, for being here with us on Robots.
Yeah, thanks so much.
And that's all for today. As always, you can find relevant links and lots more information on our website at robotspodcast.com. We'll be back with another episode in 2 weeks' time. Until then, goodbye. Robot Call with Robots, the podcast for news and views on robotics.